Express FM.
Supported by the University of Portsmouth. We are passionately Pompey.
That's the final action of this match. Portsmouth are going to Wembley.
Can it be forced in? It can! Portsmouth have scored! And what a huge goal that could be!
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
With the talent and the players that we've got and the ambition, I think there's no reason why we can't put our minds to promotion.
Action and reaction.
We've been in League One for too long and there's no guarantee, but, you know, there's a real sense of urgency and ambition to gain promotion.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
No more looking back now for football. We're going to try to create something that's really exciting.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate.
A grand weekend of football began with Pompey salvaging a point in a thrilling encounter with Sheffield Wednesday, although it could have been more.
Figure to look for Bishop. Bishop! 3-2 Portsmouth! There's no question who scored that one! Loose in the box, Deli Bashiru scores! And Sheffield Wednesday are level.
And then on Sunday, football finally came home.
History is made at Wembley with Chloe Kelly, the extra time hero. She missed the first opportunity, then prodded the second home to make Wembley erupt. And what a noise it was. After a 56-year wait for a major trophy, England have finally brought football home.
Throughout the show this evening, we'll be going through all of the key talking points from the Blues' opening day stalemate at Hillsborough, as well as recapping the events of last night's incredible UEFA Women's European Championship final at Wembley. Between now and seven, we'll be hearing from happy Danny Cowley.
I think there was a lot to be really pleased with, a lot to be really proud of, and that bodes well for the next 45 games.
And new Blues forward Colby Bishop, who is already comfortable and settling in with the Blues.
There's a lot of people who still form relationships, and if we can come to a place like this and put on a performance like that, when they do click and when we get together, there's no reason why we can't do very well this year.
As ever, we're after your thoughts from back home too, Pompey fans. Get in touch with your post-match comments, season predictions and any questions you may have for tonight's panel. 81400 is the number you need to text. Start those, please, with the word Express. Otherwise, you can email sport@expressfm.com, include @expressfm on Twitter, or head on over to facebook.com/Pompey Live. For the next 60 minutes, you join us here on Express FM for full analysis of the opening weekend of the new Football League season, as well as reaction to yesterday's massive victory for the England Lionesses, right here on the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7. Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome along to yet another instalment of the Football Hour right here on 93.7 Express FM, driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South, providing the cheapest and most reliable services across the South Coast and Hampshire. Head to stagecoachbus.com for more information. Wow, what a weekend it's been for sport. What a weekend for football. The Football League season is back. The Blues are finally back in action after 13 weeks away, and yesterday evening we experienced one of the greatest European Championship finals of all time. A record crowd at Wembley for the highest attendance of a European Championship final, men's or women's, ever, as England took to the field to take on Germany in the final of this year's UEFA Women's European Championship. And we'll be coming on to talk about that later. And as you can tell by my voice, I have had a very long weekend. I was at Wembley yesterday. It was a very, very, very special occasion. And I cannot wait to talk to you about it later on. We've got Ian Chiverton on the show. He was at the game last night as well. And we've also got our Pompey Live pundit from Saturday afternoon, Matt Drabble, to talk all things Pompey between now and 7 o'clock. As always, Pompey fans, as mentioned in the intro just a few seconds ago, we want you to get in touch between now and 7 o'clock with all of your Pompey questions, your opinions, anything you've got to get off your chest, do so this evening. We are all ears and we want to get them across to the panel tonight. Also, if you were at the game last night at Wembley, or if you've got any comments regarding that final, please let them know as well. Okay, before we do go any further, I'm going to give my voice a bit of a rest for a couple of minutes and we're going to hear the highlights of Pompey's opening game of the season at Hillsborough on Saturday.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scores!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
And a happy new season to you at home. We're underway. The ball is high in the centre of the field, won by Jacobs, who has gone out to the left-hand side immediately. Sheffield Wednesday with possession. They're a bit sloppy with it. Bishop can't win it. And Wednesday play it out to this near left-hand side. Wednesday could be in behind, and there's a good chance for Windass. Windass has got loads of options. Can he find one? He's taken all day. Chance, goal! Marvin Johnson puts it into the back of the net. It was pulled back for him, and it's a controlled finish. Pompey cut open far too easily. 9 minutes gone. Sheffield Wednesday 1, Portsmouth 0.
Picked up by Pack on the right wing. He hasn't got too many options. What can he do here? He's trying to drive to the dead ball line. Can he get the cross in? I think he can. Header is going to go into the net! And Portsmouth have equalised! Connor Ogilvy, almost in slow motion, the ball went past David Stockdale. It's Pack's excellent work down the right-hand side. He kept the ball in, and Ogilvy's looping header found the back of the net. Sheffield Wednesday 1, Portsmouth 1.
Portsmouth don't get the good clearance they want from Raggett, and Deli Bashiru, who's got it 30 yards out, hits it, and he scores! Heath Griffiths away down to his right-hand side, and Fisheu Deli Bashiru ensures that Portsmouth led for less than 2 minutes, drilled into the bottom corner. Sheffield Wednesday 2, Portsmouth 1.
Tigger, not a great first touch, he's got it on the right, he's got only Bishop to aim for. Bishop's charge, Bishop's header, off the bar, he's going to go in the net! And Portsmouth have scored! Bishop's going to claim it, but did Jacobs get the final touch? It doesn't really matter. The ball's in, and Portsmouth have levelled for a second time in the opening 12 minutes of this second half. Sheffield Wednesday 2, Portsmouth 2. Can Curtis find one of them? Challenge comes in to Piggott. Piggott to look for Bishop. Bishop! 3-2 Portsmouth! There's no question who scored that one! It's Colby Bishop, a debut to remember. In it comes from Bannon towards the penalty spot. Header is one. Loose in the box. Deli Bashiru scores. Drills the ball into the back of the net. Pompey got a touch in it, but they couldn't get it clear. They couldn't hold on to the lead. And Sheffield Wednesday a level. Sheffield Wednesday 3. Portsmouth 3.
Bit of a silence around Hillsborough as Curtis turns a terrible cross. Oh no, Raggett might keep it in. It's gone out of play. And there's not going to be a corner or goal kick, because that is the end of the game. And what a pulsating opening day of football in League One here at Hillsborough. It's finished Sheffield Wednesday 3, Portsmouth 3.
Every second of the action is right here. Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Wow, what a way to start the season. A 3-3 draw at Sheffield Wednesday. Probably one of the hardest trips Pompey will have to face all season. They got it over and done with in the very first game, and they didn't lose. After what was a pretty dismal first half display, a very, very entertaining second 45 minutes at Hillsborough. OK, let's recap the other results from across League One over the opening weekend of the new campaign. Then Accrington Stanley and Charlton Athletic locked horns at the WAM Stadium. That ended in a 2-2 draw. Newly promoted Bristol Rovers were defeated by 2-1 by also newly promoted Forest Green Rovers. Cambridge 1, Milton Keynes Dons 0, Cheltenham 2, Peterborough 3, Derby County 1, Oxford 0, Ipswich 1, Bolton 1, Lincoln City 1, Exeter 1, Morecambe 0, Shrewsbury 0, Plymouth 1, Barnsley 0, Port Vale 2, Fleetwood Town 1, and Wickham Wanderers 3, Burton Albion 0. Let's take a look at the League One standings. They don't really mean a lot at this stage of the season. One game played, 45 to go, but your leaders are currently Wickham Wanderers at the top of the table. They were 3-0 winners at the weekend. Peterborough a second, and then the playoffs are currently consisted of Forest Green Rovers, Port Vale, Cambridge and Derby County. Pompey are currently 8th and 2 points off the playoffs. A bit of ground to make up there for the next 45 games. I'm not sure if we've got enough time to do it, I don't think. Burton Albion bottom of the table, Oxford 23rd, Milton Keynes Dons 22nd, Barnsley 21st, and it just goes to show that the League One table means absolutely squat at this stage of the campaign. Right, Let's welcome in my two guests for this evening's show. Delighted to welcome on first and foremost our, well, my colleague from Saturday afternoon, Matt Drabble, joining us live from Hillsborough. He's not Hillsborough anymore, he's back home. Matt, very good evening to yourself.
Very good evening to you, Jake. I think everyone's walking on air a little bit this evening. Really still haven't gotten over what was a brilliant weekend of football in so many different ways. So thank you for having me on to discuss some of that.
No, you're very welcome. And Matt, to be honest, I needed you on tonight because I am losing my voice. It's getting terrible. I need someone who can talk to the hills. And I think you are very, very capable of doing that.
You know I don't shut up, Jake. You know
exactly.
I don't shut up,
so thank you for having me on. That was exactly my aim, my friend. And someone who could also talk for England, and someone who was at the England game last night, Ian Chiverton, massive ambassador for women's football, huge Pompey fan, huge Pompey women's fan. Ian, great to have you on the show. First and foremost, we're going to talk about it more extensively later. We're going to start off with Pompey, but to welcome you on the show for the new season, you must have really enjoyed yourself last night.
Yeah, to say the least, it was just unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable night for everybody in the country, and especially those linked to women's football. And you know, to see my daughter's face when we won it was unbelievably special.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and we will come on to talk about that later on, but we are going to start chronologically, and that was on Saturday. Matt, Pompey headed to Hillsborough, Sheffield Wednesday for hosts for match day number one of this new League One season. A drab first half, I think we could be fair to say, and on Pompey Live on Saturday we were very critical of that, but a massive turnaround in the second.
Definitely, Jake. I think that was the key thing for me, is the way that Portsmouth came out in the second half and did not look like a side that hadn't really played together before. The combinations were brilliant, and the tactical adjustments from Danny Cowley were excellent as well. As we mentioned on the weekend, those that listened to that show, particularly fond of the way that they played vertically quickly, so Sheffield Wednesday couldn't settle into their back five. And also they just dropped Louis Thompson a little bit deeper to keep Barry Bannon in check. And, you know, those two things combined to really flip the game on its head. And it has to say, although Sheffield Wednesday had periods of being largely on top, their two goals came from, you know, half chances, really. A poor clearance from Sean Raggett and an unfortunate touch from Joe Piggott. They didn't really create chances in the same way they did in the first half.
No. And Ian, you know, in regards to Saturday, Pompey, you know, heading to Hillsborough, we mentioned just a few moments ago, probably the toughest away game of the season. Certainly when you take into consideration the home record Sheffield Wednesday had last campaign, it was the best in League One. We went up there on the final day. We were absolutely hammered by 4-1. And if we can come away from that with a point, as largely frustrating as it was to actually not get the win in the end, due to the circumstances of taking that 3-2 lead, if you can come away from that crazy spectacle with a point, your next 45 games, it sets you up in good stead with good confidence.
Yeah, I think if you look at the fixtures, for your opening game, the top, you know, this fixture would have been in the top three of what we definitely don't want on the first game of the season. And like you said, especially considering the last game of last season, and, you know, we're all a bit worried about it, but especially when that goal went in, I was watching the game, and as soon as that first goal went in, you think, oh no, what, you know, honestly, what's going to happen now? But I was really pleased. The team showed incredible grit and fight, something that Danny, since coming in, has promised that his Portsmouth team would have. And I think for the, you know, we've seen bits of it, but for the first time, I was really convinced that maybe he has put a squad together that isn't just going to roll over when they go 1-0 down. And you, like you said, we were really unlucky not to actually win it in the end.
Yeah, desperately unlucky not to win it in the end. Matt, and, you know, let's talk about the elephant in the room. In fact, two of them, the two big, big talking points right at the end of that game. The first of which, obviously, the equaliser to make it 3-3 from Deli Bashiri. Fantastic strike, Matt. No taking that away from the lad. However, a lot of frustration, confusion amongst the Pompey dugout in regards to Conor Ogilvie being forced off by the referee due to the head injury, which, you know, was dictated from him actually heading the ball out for the corner in the first place. What are your thoughts on that one? Controversial, yes, but do you think that's the right decision?
It's, you know, it's a hard one for me to call, Jake, because I think it would be incredibly biased not to say that Portsmouth were trying to eke a little bit of time off the clock following their goal. That's nothing against Danny Cowley. Mm. That's no overt criticism of Portsmouth. That is the nature of highly competitive football, is that sides are going to use that to their advantage. And Danny Cowley's never shied away from that. I think Portsmouth were trying to kill the game, kill the momentum more than overtly time waste. And Connor Ogilvy did go down for a little bit after heading that ball behind, but he was up to his feet fairly quickly. It's the fact that, you know, the laws of the game, which I'm not by any stretch of the imagination the oracle on, but the rules of the game are, if the referee deems that there's been a head injury, the player has to step off the pitch. Yeah. And as Connor Ogilvy sunk to the floor following the header, whether he was trying to kill momentum for Sheffield Wednesday a little bit or not, he almost shot himself in the foot there, which is why that one, I think, it is a little bit harder for me to criticise the referee than the latter one, though. I'm sure we'll all have a field day.
Yeah, the latter one, we will have a field day on that one, Chiv. I'm sure you've seen it. The appeal from Pompey, whether it was inside the box or not, I don't think matters too much. But the high boot on youngster Dane Scarlett, who came off the bench to make his Blues debut on Saturday. Look, there's no two ways about it, Chiv. He was booted in the head. Whether there's contact or not, he was booted in the head. And Joe Morrell last season, will always bring it up, but he got sent off for not making contact. And the excuse for that was, it doesn't matter if there's contact, there was intent. And there was certainly intent on Saturday.
Yeah, I was just about to say the same thing. So Morrell gets sent off. His foot was half as high as the Sheffield Wednesday's defender. I mean, what on earth was he thinking? Like, the ball's above his head, he's trying to kick it. I mean, and the referee can't even use the excuse that he didn't have a good view of it. He was in a really, really good position. It's clear and obviously dangerous play. I just the standard of refereeing in the division just astonishes us at times. But, you know, I don't think there's any excuse for that. You can't really... No. It's just the inconsistency shocking, isn't it?
Yeah. New season, but the same old story, unfortunately so. Let's get to the text tweets and emails then. Paul O'Neill on Facebook. For the first time in a long while after watching that second half performance, I think we could be in for a very exciting season. A few more signings and we really could be into something good. Play up Pompey, Cowley's at the wheel. Thank you, Paul, for getting in touch there. Mockers on Twitter. To draw 3-3 on the opening day of the season is a great result, bearing in mind how strong the Owls are at home and how bad the referee was. By all accounts, Matt was right on Saturday. That was our toughest away game out of the way. Play up Pompey. Thank you to Mockers on Twitter for getting in touch there. Don't forget, if you want to have your thoughts put across the air, you can, like Paul has and like Mockers has just then. 81400 is the number you need to text. Start your messages with the word Express. Email sport@expressfm.com. You can tweet using @ExpressFM or head on over to facebook.com/Pompey Live. Okay, shortly, the three of us will be returning with even more Pompey discussion, and we'll also be hearing from Blues gaffer Danny Cowley, who talks about how his side came out fighting in the second half on Saturday after a disappointing first 45.
At half time, really, it was just a message to be a little bit braver, to punch back, and I thought we did that, and I thought we scored some really good goals in the second half, and to be 3-2 up. I felt so sorry for the players the way the third goal went in, because we don't concede that goal if we're not down to 10 men, and we shouldn't be down to 10 men. And that's a real frustration for us.
Join us again as the Football Hour returns next.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
The new Stagecoach Flexi 5. A bus ticket that works when you do. For those who travel often, but not every day. These new flexible bus tickets are available as Flexi 5. Bundles of 5-day riders for the price of 4. And Flexi 10. Bundles of 10-day riders for the price of 7. Flexi tickets are now available to download via the Stagecoach Bus app. Download Flexi 5 or Flexi 10 from Apple App Store or Google Play today. For more information, visit stagecoachbus.com.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening. Welcome back along to the Football Hour here on Express FM, brought to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Download their app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to locate your nearest bus stop and find the updated timetables as well. This evening, I'm joined alongside our Pompey Live pundit on Saturday, Matt Drabble, and of course, Pompey Women's expert, fan, huge Yeah, huge fan, Ian Chiverton. Don't really think there's much more words we can put it in there, Chiv. look, what a weekend for football. We'll come on to talk about the women's final at Wembley yesterday in the next part of the show. We're going to talk about that in great, great detail. But first, Chiv, look, Saturday, Colby Bishop on the score sheet. Whether it's once or twice, we're still not entirely sure. Michael Jacobs was claiming the second. But regardless, look, Colby Bishop, what a signing. And he's got off the mark really, really well.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I thought he played really well. And I think for any striker, they're going to want to score on the opening day. So, yes, great for him. And, you know, I always get a bit worried when we have a sort of a marquee signing. And it kind of feels like with all the fiasco around his signing, you know, there's quite a bit of weight on his shoulders. But didn't seem too fazed by that. I mean, his goal scoring record at his last two clubs is decent. And, you know, there's every chance he'll do that here. Seems to be a bit of a fan favourite already, which is great. And, yeah, really looking forward to seeing him in person myself on Saturday.
Yeah. And Colby Bishop, Matt, becomes only the 15th player in the 21st century to score on his Pompey debut. He joins the likes of Kanu, Jermaine Defoe and David Norris. The most recent of those 15 was Omar Bogle back in 2019. Now, we all hope Colby Bishop doesn't follow in the same footsteps as Omar Bogle in his career here at Pompey. However, a fantastic start, and the link-up play between him and Joe Piggott. Joe Piggott getting two assists on Saturday as well. That goes under the radar a little bit.
Definitely. And I think one thing that really surprised me was Colby Bishop was the player I expected to drift out into wide areas and link play. That was something Danny Cowley identified in his sort of assessment of Colby Bishop when Portsmouth signed him, was that he could also pull wide, but it was Joe Piggott pulling wide to put those crosses in, and Colby Bishop floating between the defenders. And in fact, it was that exact movement, that exact combination of movement that led to Portsmouth's success. I spoke about this in great detail on Saturday, but when you're up against a back three, you have to pull one of the centre-backs somewhere they don't want to be, which is out in the channel. The centre-backs like to stay in the box. That's their job. Centre-back's job is easy in the box. They can head, they can clear everything. As soon as centre-back has to go out and be a makeshift full-back, they don't like it. You pull one of the centre-backs into the channel, and that really hopelessly exposed Iorfa, the other centre-back, who was left scrambling, trying to stop Colby Bishop nodding those two goals in. And one of the names you mentioned earlier, by the way, happy 68th birthday to Kanu. The records say 46, but I'm not sure that's quite accurate. No. So worth saying that today on Express FM. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned it already, Jake.
No, happy birthday to Kanu. I'm sure he's listening. I remember Matt back in the day when I first started going to Pompey games, when Kanu was a Pompey player. The song, how did it go? His real age is 62.
And that was also David James's birthday today as well. So worth giving him a shout out as well.
I'm sure they're both listening. But if Kanu was 62 years old 14 years ago, he's got to be what, 76 by my maths?
Something like that. Yeah. Something like that. Still do a job though, I reckon.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think he could. Chiv, one of the names on Saturday as well who really, really deserves a mention, particularly from the first half display after what was, it was quite wasteful from Pompey, particularly going forward. There wasn't, or didn't appear to be much communication between the midfield and the back line. But one player who was given his all, as we all expected, was that man in the middle, Marlon Pack, playing again for his hometown club. And he put a real shift in. And he was the standout player in the first half, and in the second half, you know, continued that trend.
Yeah, he looks really, really good, doesn't he? I mean, it's a... due to my holidays and stuff, it's the first time I've actually seen him live, and I was really impressed. Just he just looks quality. Like, they're obviously the sorts of player that if you're going to be challenging up the top of the league, you need players of that level of quality, and to bring in someone like that, however, you know, whatever attracted him back, you know, is irrelevant. You know, some players for money, some because it's their club, whatever, it doesn't really matter. To have that quality of player in central midfield, I think we haven't always had that. And, you know, the thought of the likes of Pat Thompson and Morel in centre midfield is just mouth-watering. And yeah, I don't think many teams in the league are going to have a better centre midfield than that.
No. Marlon Pack, Louis Thompson, of course, for returning. Joe Morel, hopefully, in a few weeks as well. Jay Mingy, who many have tipped to maybe have his breakout season this season. Always key to have some youngster who's, you know, really got that energy and the hunger to, you know, prove that point to his manager. And hopefully Jay Mingy could well provide that aspect this season, if, of course, he does remain with Pompey throughout the entire campaign. We're not entirely sure what Danny's Cowley's plans are in regard to the loan market. However, moving back to the text, tweets and emails, Mockers has got back in touch on Twitter. What a great signing Marlon Pack is. We have a terrific pair up front with the Bishop and the Pig. Conor Ogilvie continues to excel at the back. The assault on Scarlett sounds like the referee didn't have a clue, though, in not awarding a penalty. Thank you, Mockers, on Twitter. On the emails, Linda Mayo, well, what a first game of the season. Considering Sheffield Wednesday are the favourites for promotion, I would have taken a draw before the match started, but we must stop with the slow starts. This was happening last season, but they turned up in the second half. I think we may forgive them because they haven't had time to play together, but let's have more of that second half performance. I think a lot of teams can learn from the Lionesses how to game manage with the clock ticking down. They were magnificent. Well done to them, and play up Pompey. Thank you, Linda, on the emails for getting in touch there. And really kind of echoing and off the back of that email from Linda, Matt, the second half was so much of a contrast to that first half, as well as, of course, what we imagined to be a big team talk in the dressing room at halftime from Danny and Nicky Cowley. What else do you think played the biggest part in that turnaround?
I think for a lot of those players, they've either really, it was their first time playing for Portsmouth and maybe they weren't fully sure of the expectations. They might have taken a step down like Marlon Pack, so they maybe thought the league would be a little easier than it was. They might have taken a step up, some of those players. So that was the shock. But as Linda says, we cannot, it would be an injustice to not address quite how diabolical that first half was. And even I am guilty of being swept up in the euphoria of what was a pretty brilliant second half. It was from an entertainment value, but also from a Portsmouth performance that sort of put to bed that first half. But I mean, I just have distinct memories of me and you on that Hillsborough media bench, Jake, looking at each other with agony in our eyes, and the Portsmouth fans looking to our left, and they were all head in hands as well. I mean, it was really, really poor. I don't think we entered their box all half. And so what changed? I mean, you know, other than the stuff we've already discussed, which is a better tactical shift from my eyes, it's that not being afraid to go long early, which is so often a stigma around football. I guess people still scared of jacket ball, but actually going forward quite quickly helped Portsmouth build from higher and catch Sheffield Wednesday's wing-backs high. Mm-hmm. I would say probably the vocal aspect of Portsmouth increased, players realising, well, sort of in that, you had that feeling out period in the first half where players wondering who's going to be the leader in this team, who's going to step up, is it okay for me to shout and scream at the people around me in a new team? Well, you heard Michael Morrison's voice, you certainly heard Marlon Pack, you heard Colby Bishop, Joe Piggott as well, all sort of communicating and shouting at each other. And Colby Bishop mentioned in his post-match interview, you know, something along those lines, talking about if this is us, if that second half of ours just starting to work each other out, imagine what we can do when we fully click. And I think it was just that adjustment period was the main difference.
Matt, I'm going to have to stop you from spoiling the interviews that we've got coming up on the show tonight. I really am. We will be hearing. I'm joking. No, we will be hearing from Colby Bishop later on, and you know, really spot on from Matt, really echoing what he's saying there. Colby Bishop really highlighting the quality of that Pompey display in that second half, the leadership qualities shown by many on the pitch in that second half to create that turnaround after what was a pretty average first half. However, we're now going to hear from the man who pulled the strings on Saturday, and we hope to continue throughout the entire season as well. Danny Cowley spoke to Max Swatton on the touchline after the 3-3 draw with Sheffield Wednesday, and was first asked after such a dramatic opening day how he would describe the match.
It's good to be back. I think it's a roller coaster of a game. It's a consequence of a roller coaster of emotions. So proud of the way the players applied themselves. I just said to them in there that don't underestimate what you've achieved today. You know, as a group, we've only just come together. Michael Morrison literally, you know, hadn't, you know, signed on Tuesday. The first football he's done this pre-season was 45 minutes at Barnet. Sean Raggett, who's been really struggling with his back, and we all know how tough he is, played 45 minutes at Barnet and wasn't happy with it. He then went and had an injection on Wednesday just to be able to play. And yeah, I thought those two were lions. You look at the top of the pitch, just really new relationships, and we haven't really had much time on the grass because we were trying to build their fitness as well. So Colby obviously played Tuesday and needed minutes because he'd been starved of minutes at the beginning of his pre-season. So really we only had Thursday, Friday to work with the group. And when you come into somewhere like Hillsborough, who
You know, Sheffield Wednesday have the best, had the best home record in the division last year. I think there was, a lot to be really, really pleased with, a lot to be really proud of, and that bodes well for the next 45 games.
Yeah, like you say, three goals and a point at Hillsborough is not something a lot of teams come across.
No, I think, you know, first half, we actually had a good way into the game, and they then score with their first chance. And then I thought they found a rhythm, they get a real momentum of the crowd, and we did really well to show our mettle and stay in the game. I was really proud of how we did that. I think last year when we came here, we conceded three goals in quick succession, and then the mountain becomes too big to climb. So we did really well actually first half, and actually grew into the half. I think from about 30 minutes onwards, started to connect some passes and find a little bit of control ourselves. And then, yeah, at half time, really, it was just a message to be a little bit braver, to punch back. And I thought we did that, and I thought we scored some really good goals in the second half. And to be 3-2 up, I felt so sorry for the players the way the third goal went in, because we don't concede that goal if we're not down to 10 men, and we shouldn't be down to 10 men. And that's a real frustration for us.
A debut goal for Colby, and two assists for Joe Piggott as well. How good is it to see that partnership flourishing early on?
Yeah, I think, obviously really brand new. Boys just getting used to playing with each other. But Joe has such a flair to his game, and he's able to come loose and link the play, and he will score goals, Joe Piggott, but he will also create goals. And I think we saw that with the two assists, two fantastic crosses, and Colby doing what Colby does best, getting in the frame of the goal, and he's such a good header of the ball. And I don't know if the first one goes over the line or whether Michael Jacobs scores. We'll have to send that to the dubious goal panel, but certainly the goal to go 3-2 up was a fantastic header.
Definitely think Michael's going to try and claim that one. Overall, plenty of positives to take from this into the next week and into Fratton Park next week.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as I said, with the players, I thought they were brilliant. Just the spirit, the togetherness, the fight that we showed. It's really difficult to be a group of men that never give up, and I see that quality in this group. We talk a lot about tactics, but sometimes it's just about heart, desire and fight, and I thought we had all those qualities in abundance today.
Danny Carley there speaking to Max Swatton after the full-time whistle at Hillsborough on Saturday afternoon. And Chith, one of the main points right at the end of that interview is talking about leadership and fight and desire. And that exactly is, you know, the kind of attributes we see in a fair few of these players, as Matt alluded to before that interview, the likes of Marlon Pack and Michael Morrison. However, Sean Raggett, to play that game on Saturday, there were doubts cast over whether he would be fit enough, and it was revealed after the game that he had an injection to his back in order to be able to make the game, and that's the kind of quality you want to see in your centre half, someone who will give 100% for the club, and he has done over the last two or three years.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, and he's not had the smoothest of ride, has he, at Pompey? Especially likening him to Bambi in his early days. But I kind of admire the guy. You know, I've met him at a Pompey women game. He's really down-to-earth guy, and he's just here to play football. And you know, the thing that impresses you the most is he doesn't take the criticism too badly. He just kept quiet, and he's proved how good he was last season. And I didn't realise he was that. You know, you don't want to be playing with injections, do you? Because that can make your injuries worse sometimes. But if we're going to do something this season, we need people like that on the pitch. And I definitely think that's something in Cowley's mind when he's recruiting players, is the fact that he believes in this sort of leadership model where you have a leadership group. You don't just have one captain and that's it. You have a group of players. And I think that's really important. And I think maybe finally he's managed to recruit the players that fit that.
Yeah, and Sean Raggett's antics from the weekend, being handed the captaincy as a result. That also came because of Clark Robertson's injury, his foot injury, who we hear from our colleague Andy Moon from after the game, is set to be short-term. So we do hope to see Clark Robertson back from that foot injury very, very soon. We've spoken already, Matt, about the ludicrous decision to not award Pompey a foul in the dying embers of a game on Saturday on that, you know, horrendous attempt of a tackle on Dane Scarlett at Hillsborough. But in regards to how he played after he came on, after he was introduced to make his Pompey debut, Matt, Dane Scarlett really live. And he wasn't afraid to throw his weight around either, was he?
Yeah, I think that's exactly the key moment. The key thing with Dane Scarlett, and the key thing when you look at these young Premier League players coming in, I think they are often unfairly tarnished with the brush. They won't be able to cut it physically at Football League level. That seems to be the constant assumption all over, you know, Twitter and the comments. All the negative comments seem to suggest, oh, well, because they're a Premier League youngster, they won't be able to cope with the physicalities of this league. But in fact, that was exactly what Dane Scarlett almost had in the back of his mind as he came on, it seemed. He was so keen just to charge around the pitch. It was a little bit headless chicken stuff at times. At times, you know, doing other people's running, which isn't always what you want to see from your striker, because if they're doing that, they can't always be in the box at the right time. But definitely had the industry to succeed at Pompey and please the fans. And there was no sense or indication, I know it's game one, that he felt he was too good for the level, or he resented being here. He seemed to want to do absolutely everything he could to prove that this is where he wants to be and that he wants to succeed. And a really nice moment for me where Rico Hackett initiated a press quite high up the pitch for Pompey on the right-hand side, and the ball was skipped straight past him. So Dane Scarlett ran about 40 yards to cover the space that Rico Hackett Fairchild had vacated and get back and put pressure on the wing back of Sheffield Wednesday, who I think was Hunt on the left-hand side. And that was a really good moment for me from Dane Scarlett to, you know, to show that sort of understanding tactically of the game that he needed to fill the space that Hackett Fairchild had exposed.
Yeah. David Liss on the emails. Hi, Jake. Hi, all. I've been feeling a lot more confident about this season over the past couple of weeks, and Saturday reinforced that feeling. I didn't expect to feel disappointed at not picking up all 3 points, but that was definitely the case and says everything, particularly against the background of losing heavily against the same opposition at the same ground in what was our previous competitive match. Hopefully, we can now find the remaining pieces to the jigsaw and then look forward to a really good season with some success at the end of it. Play out Pompey, Dave in Liss. Thank you very much for getting in touch with the show tonight, Dave. And that all but rounds up our Pompey discussion on the show tonight. The Blues are next in action this Saturday. They return to Fratton Park for the first time competitively since last season. Lincoln City will be the visitors for that one. Right then, coming up in the third and final part of tonight's Footblower, myself, Matt and Ian will be changing the topic to the England Lionesses and their incredible win from last night. However, not before rounding up the very final bit of Pompey discussion first. After the break, Colby Bishop talks about building his partnership with Joe Piggott.
I think it's brilliant. You know, I think sometimes it takes a couple of games or a couple of months to get that going, but for him to find me twice like that is brilliant for me, and it's good going forward.
Stay right where you are, because the Football Hour will be back in just a few moments' time.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Go by bus. Go greener with Stagecoach.
Next stop, a cleaner, greener future. Did you know that if we all ditch the car and switch to a bus just once a month for a year, we'd save the UK 2 million tonnes of CO2?
Switch to bus, because by switching, you can make a big difference. Get on board a Stagecoach bus for a cleaner, greener future. For more information, go to switchtobus.com.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time this evening to the Football Hour here on Express FM, driven to you by Stagecoach South. I'll be reintroducing Matt and Chiv to the show in a minute, but first we hear from Blues striker Colby Bishop, who spoke to Max Swatton at Hillsborough following Pompey's opening day stalemate with Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday.
Colby, a dramatic opening day here at Hillsborough. How was it out there?
It was tough. It's tough. It's always a tough place to come to. Amazing atmosphere here. And obviously they're a good team with a lot of good players, so it's always a tough game when you come in.
What was the gaffer's message at half-time that sparked that second half display?
I think we're still in the game, you know. I think a lot of things didn't go our way. Probably didn't input ourselves on the game as well as what we did in the second half. But, you know, it was 1-0. We didn't crumble and go 2-3-0 away like a place you can do this in a place like this. So I think it was just to keep going, we're in the game, and obviously we did well second half.
A debut goal for you. Yeah. Just talk us through it.
I mean, it was a ball of pigs. It's great. Great cross, both of them were great crosses. I didn't really have to move, so you know, I like to be in the box and try and get my head on things, and luckily that one went in.
And that second one, are you going to be trying to claim that off Crackers anytime soon?
Yeah, he's straight away on it, saying it's his, but I think I'm going to get into the dubious goal panel, see what we can do with that.
How is it to see that partnership between you and Joe flourishing in the early stages of the season?
I think it's brilliant. You know, I think sometimes it takes a couple games to get, and a couple months to get that going, but for him to find me twice like that is brilliant for me, and it's good going forward.
And whether that second was yours or not, it's still a goal or an assist, yeah. And no better start to life at Pompey for you.
No, yeah, I mean, it would have been better if we'd have got 3 points, and I think in the end we'd probably deserve that after the second half, but unfortunately it didn't go that way. But yeah, great start.
What can you and the team take from this second half display into the week ahead and into Lincoln next Saturday?
I think, like the gaffer's just said, you know, there's a lot of people who are still forming relationships, and if we can come to a place like this and put on a performance like that, when they do click and when we get together, there's no reason why we can't do very well this year.
There you are then, the post-match thoughts of Colby Bishop from Saturday's 3-3 draw with Sheffield Wednesday at Hillsborough. Bringing back Matt and Chief back into the conversation. And before we do talk about the England women, Matt, Carno, yeah, 46 years old. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's crazier that it's just 46 for a lot of people, to be honest. Although that does still make me feel quite old. I don't know what my happiest Carno memory is. I don't know if you... either of you have one. Probably the Middlesbrough goal. Was it Middlesbrough when he went on that? He spun in midfield, went on that run and lifted it over the keeper. I think that's the one that sticks out greatest in my mind. Although I've just said that with full knowledge of a poster above me to my left right now of him scoring in a certain FA Cup final.
I was going to say,
that
yeah.
one might be slightly more memorable.
I was going to say, I was going to be a plain Jane and say it's got to be the FA Cup final to you know, send Pompey into delirium at Wembley. Chith, you know, you've got a few more years on us two youngsters. Have you got a certain certain memory of Carno that maybe we don't?
sort of the... Was it the Maisie run at Middlesbrough? But it's got to be the FA Cup games, hasn't it? Because ultimately, in those games, they were really, you know, the final was a really, really tight game. And, you know, you need that cool head, that experienced person to pop up in the right place. But I'll still never forgive him for his rubbish celebration. I thought he kind of was checking back because it was offside or something. So sort of halted my limbs, if you like. So, yeah, rubbish celebration, but I let him off.
He got off more lightly with that, Chiv. That's a good point. That's got to be one of the worst. Yeah. Got to be one of the worst FA Cup final celebrations of all time.
Shocker.
Up there with Michael Owen's handspring for worst FA Cup goal celebration, I think.
Chiv, you mentioned Cup final, you mentioned Wembley, you mentioned limbs, you mentioned celebration. That moves us on along nicely to some game we had last night, eh? Wembley Stadium, England women against the Germany women, the European Championship final. And it was the Lionesses who prevailed by 2-1. Ella Toon got the scoring underway in the second half with a delightful chip over the German goalkeeper, and unfortunately in the 79th minute it was McGull who equalised for the visitors. However, extra time, absolute carnage, Chiv. Chloe Kelly made it 2-1 to England, and that is how the game ended. And for the first time since 1966, an England team, men's or women's, has won an international tournament. Superb.
Yeah, it was one of the best days of my life, unquestionably. It meant so much. It transcended beyond the actual result, which I'm sure we can talk about in a bit. But I mean, just the whole occasion was absolutely amazing. And you know, I've been to a lot of football matches. I think probably approaching 700 matches now, and I don't think I've ever heard a noise like I have when that extra time Chloe Kelly goal went in. It even my wife commented that, you know, she's been at a lot of football, but never before has a sort of the air pressure in the stadium changed to the point where honestly, like, you feel like your ears were going to pop. It was like that, because there was this big sort of, her first shot was saved and there was this big intake of air, and then suddenly she pokes in, and then the noise was just, as you were there, you were down to right, weren't you? And the noise was just unbelievable when that goal went in.
I can definitely vouch for that. It was incredible. I've never experienced anything like that at a football game ever. That was the loudest I've ever heard a football stadium. Just incredible. And being in that lower tier, really, really fortunate and privileged to be there on such a really special night for England and for women's football in general. But the noise was just absolutely stupendous. Speaking about the whole run in general, Chiv, it started, of course, with that 1-0 win over Austria in the group stages before a wild 8-0 victory over Norway and a 5-0 win over Northern Ireland in the group stages. A rampant, rampant three games there. What's that? 14 goals scored, 0 conceded. A real good effort, and that really set up what was going to be... it wasn't as easy, the knockout stages, don't get me wrong, in terms of the results and the scoreline. However, you could see the quality that England possessed compared to the rest of the sides in the competition, sorry.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we were fortunate enough to do... We did all the games, Abby and I, except for the semi-final. We were on holiday, but we watched it on TV, obviously, and I think it was pretty clear that, you know, England, although we were being very quiet about it, England had a really good chance to win it. You know, since the new management team's come in, they've been a different side altogether than they were under Phil Neville. And you can really, if you spend any time following and watching any of their sort of behind the scenes videos, you can absolutely see why they won it. There's no egos in that squad. They're all in it together. They all know their place. And you know, we were formidable through the whole tournament. I mean, I know a few eyes, the heads were turned at the big win against Norway, but you know, Norway, they're a formidable side, and that was an unbelievable result. It wasn't just England pumping someone who's rubbish. They are a really, really good side. England were just so good, and a lot of it was to do with the stadiums were absolutely packed with just, you know, fanatical fans. And I really think that some of the opposition teams, they simply melted under the pressure of that.
Well, that 8-0 win really surprised me, Chiv, because a few days before, I went to that stadium down the road that's covered in red and white rubbish, and I watched the Norway women beat Northern Ireland, and they were incredible, Norway, in comparison to Northern Ireland. I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to pretend that I know the difference in quality between Northern Ireland and Norway. I'm fairly new to this myself. However, that 8-0 win really did shock me. Like you say, they weren't playing against a bad team on that night. That was an incredible victory. But in terms of just the way that England displayed themselves throughout the entire tournament, to go and beat Spain in extra time, to come back from a goal down, to fight that adversity, to win that game, it wasn't just all about winning emphatically. Like we saw last night as well in the final, it was about finding a way to come back from a disappointing moment, from going behind, to conceding that equaliser against Germany, to putting up against a really dire referee last night. They found a way every single time to get that win.
Yeah, and it was, you know, they proved how important a squad is, because, you know, I hear that Serena Wiegmann, like before the tournament, sat down with every single player and told them exactly what they're going to be in the squad. So, you know, likes of Beth England, right, you're not going to play very much, but you're going to be a support player. You know, and she sat down with every single one of those players, and they all knew where they were. They all knew what they had a job. And, you know, last night when, you know, Kirby and Ellen White came off and Toon, and Russo came on, it changed the game completely. And I think it just proves that how important a squad is in the tournament. And indeed, you know, if you're playing a league season, how important the squad is. It's not just about the 11 on the field. And Kirby and White are huge, huge players for the women's team. And to take them off in a cup final, knowing that they can't kick a ball again in the final, is a big decision to make. Yeah. But, you know, the young guns came on and ultimately won it for us.
Yeah. Matt, don't worry, mate. I've not forgotten about you. I know you're there, but I know Chiv has been waiting for this for a very, very long time. So, you know, definitely giving him the airtime that he so rightfully deserves after many years following the Pompey women and the women's game and trying to make an impact to make it as big as it is today. But in regards to not just the football on the pitch, Matt, but in regards to the whole tournament itself, the excitement it's brought to the country, to the world, it really has made a huge impact on women's football. And that is really emphasised by the fact that last night, 87,192 fans were in attendance at Wembley. It was virtually sold out. It was very hard to get a ticket for. 87,000 spectators at Wembley, the highest ever attendance for both a men's or a women's European Championship final. Incredible. And over 500,000 people in attendance in aggregate over the entire tournament. That's also a new record. It just pushed the boundaries on every single aspect of the tournament.
It was incredible, Jake, and as you said, and also I think it's absolutely right that Ian got his chance to speak about that. I have no qualms about that whatsoever, because Ian's a massive advocate of women's football in this country. And I think, you know, last night's result, it seems like the pinnacle, seems like the end, but you mentioned those attendance figures. It's just the beginning. And I think last night's result, in a way, is for people, and I'm not, you know, in any way trying just to play pally with Ian here. It's for people like Ian. It's for people like Hope Powell, Brighton women's manager. It is for people like Alex Scott. It is for those that came first, like Jill, you know. And I think that's the key, is that this first one, and let's hope it is the first of many, is for those that came first and had to pay to play and had to, you know, travel on buses and trains and work other jobs and fund themselves to play football. And the next generation can be for everyone to enjoy. I think that's how it should be viewed. You know, for me, seeing those attendances last night, just the more eyes on the game, something like 23 million people watching at home. If people can see it, then it becomes possible. If little girls can see it, then it becomes reality. It becomes possible. And I think, I wonder, I've got two sisters and they grew up and I'm absolutely football mad. You know, I can't get enough of football, and they're not. But I wonder, they never saw it. It was never on TV for them. They never had the opportunity. They never did PE lessons when they played football. You know, it's what ifs, buts and maybes, but maybe my sisters would be just as football crazy as me, but they didn't have the chance to see it. And so therefore, it was never an option for them. And that's my only hope. You know, I grew up, it was always easy for me to go and play football. It was always easy for me to go and watch people that looked like me play football. It was always easy for me to go online and talk about football without my opinion getting dragged through the dirt. And my hope is the legacy of this tournament is that it's easy for everyone to go and play football. It's easy for everyone to go and watch people that look like them play football. Mm. And it's easy for everyone to go online and talk about football without their opinions being discredited.
Yeah. Absolutely spot on. Hopefully this tournament will be the benchmark for what will be some more incredible tournaments as the years go by, the real pinnacle for women's football across the world. And that stage was, you know, just absolutely a superb one to set that one. And it would have been incredible no matter who won that tournament. But the cherry on top for us here, for everyone in England, for all of those girls dreaming to be in that moment, on that stage, that was for them. England winning the Euros for the first ever time against Germany, who have won it 8 times. That was spectacular. Matt, thank you very much for joining us on the show tonight. It's been incredible to have you on. Thank you very much for joining us at Hillsborough on Saturday. Have a great week, and we'll speak to you soon, my friend.
Thanks, Jake.
And a very, very good evening as well to Chiv as well. Thank you for coming on. I hope you've had a great weekend, and here's to more in the future, eh?
Yeah, cheers, mate. And get yourself down to Pompey Women Games.
Absolutely, do so. Okay, Pompey Women, they'll be back soon. But the men, also back in action this Saturday from 3.
All the unmissable action.
This is Pompey Live.
It was a dramatic start to Pompey's League One season on Saturday as they had to settle for a point in a thrilling 3-3 draw with Sheffield Wednesday.
One, he's taken all day. Chance goal. Header is going to go into the net. Hits it and he scores. Bishop, 3-2, Portsmouth! Loose in the box, Deli Bashiru scores!
Next up for the Blues, they return to Fratton Park to take on Lincoln. Join us for all of the unmissable action Saturday from 2.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
That's right, myself, Robbie James, and Pompey Women's boss Jay Sadler will be back at Fratton Park for the first Pompey home game of the new season. Can the Blues carry on the momentum from Saturday's 3-3 draw at Hillsborough with a win over Lincoln City? If you're not going to the game, you can find out right here on 93.7 Express FM. We'll be live from Fratton Park from 2 o'clock with all of the pre-match build-up and full extensive coverage of the Blues home game against the Imps. We'll be on air until 6 p.m. with live commentary from BBC Radio Solent and our colleagues Andy Moon and Guy Whittigan. OK, coming up here on Express FM tonight, the Soft Rock Show with Jeff and Aidy follows up after the news at 7. They'll be chatting with John Lodge of the Moody Blues, and we'll also have new music from Taurus, Jerulia and Tom Chaplin as well. Kevin Stokes returns with That 80 Show from 9 through until 11 before nothing but non-stop Express hits from 11 p.m. through to the early hours of Tuesday morning. And tomorrow morning, Ian James is back with Express Breakfast from 6:30, Paul Marsh from 10 through until 1, and then from 4 p.m. with Drive Time, Darren Gavlin sits in before Mason Jordan returns with the local music show. No midweek game for Pompey this week, but there will be next week with a trip to Cardiff City on the cards in the Carabao Cup. Have a fantastic week, Pompey fans. I'll be back on Friday with a Foot Blower. Take care, stay safe, and play up Pompey. Good night.